Tiffany Lankus, welcome back to Press Pass.
Thanks for having me.
What things stood out to you the most in that visit?
You know, the thing I think that stood out most to me was not necessarily the thing that he put a lot of focus on, but, you know, having covered education for a number of years and being familiar with programs that work, best practices, I thought it was interesting that he seems to already have in his head some ideas for school programs that he believes will move this district forward. He talked a lot with the news about CTE programs, career-focused programs. He was very familiar with Emerson, which is obviously one of our notable ones. He talked a lot about connecting with business leaders and trying to come up with programs that connect with our emerging industries here in Buffalo. And he even talked about an international baccalaureate program, which some of your listeners may know is what they have at City Honors, and an internationally renowned academic program that would probably be beneficial to a lot of students. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, is what's happening in the classroom. So that he seems to already be thinking about that is encouraging, I think.
I want our listeners to hear a quote from him that he gave us as well on that, because he said, when you boost academics, there's many options.
You can have a career-themed academy, and they can be within a high school and in different concentrations. So students could be studying criminal justice system and law enforcement in one part of the concentration area. They could be looking at logistics and distribution systems in another part, biotechnology, solar energy, Medtronics, pharmaceuticals. All of these are things that are happening in our community now.
He also talked about with us about poverty, saying it should not be an impediment for children going to school. And of course, attendance is key for both students and educators. He stressed this whole attendance issue.
He did, and he did the same with us. And as you noted before, that connects with the academic programs. When we pressed him on, you know, how do you get kids to come to school? The first thing he said was, if you have something that they want to experience, they will come. The other thing that was interesting and somewhat touches on, you mentioned the poverty in the neighborhood some of these kids are coming from. With us, he talked about really getting the community involved and neighborhoods involved, particularly when it comes to, he referred to it as safe passage, kids walking to and from school. He noted with us, he's driven around a lot of neighborhoods. It sounds like he's getting familiar with the city, and that is the reality for a lot of kids, that walk to and from school may not be a safe travel for them. And he said he wants to really mobilize communities to have their eyes on the lookout, and just to be there for the kids as mentors, as community members, and that in turn gets them more involved with the school system.
You know, that's interesting because I don't recall other past superintendents having that focus.
No, and it was, you know, he definitely has a personality. He's definitely, an interesting character. And he told us a story that as he's been driving around the neighborhoods, he's stopping and talking to people on their porches. And I would imagine that in some communities, it's probably been a very long time since the superintendent or anyone from the school district came and knocked on their door for no other reason just to say, hey, I'm here. These are all of our kids, and let's all work together and try to figure out how to do what's best for them.
I want to talk a little bit about the graduation rates, too, because he said that graduation rates start in preschool and literacy is key.
You know, he has talked about that, I think, several times in forums with board members. And, the board as well has made this a priority. I wrote in a story last week about their focus on lowering class sizes and really trying to infuse the primary grades with literacy specialists because, a lot of people say that's the make or break it point for kids. You might remember the commissioner when she was here in Sweet Home told a story that she had high schoolers in Florida that couldn't pass social studies when they came in ninth grade because they couldn't read the textbook. So the research does really show that kids who have not mastered those basic literacy skills by the time they leave third grade, you essentially set them up to fail later on in their career. So it makes sense to put resources in those grade levels rather than pay for so much remediation later.
You and I have talked a lot about receivership, so that was another important question to ask him as he moves into this era of this new receivership law that takes over the 25 schools. He said there's no single bullet in talking about when students have the best teachers, they can make gains. What was your sense when he's evaluating principals and staffers?
I think it would be reasonable to expect he'll be proposing staff changes at those schools. The receivership powers he has do allow for him to require everyone at a particular school to reapply for their jobs. I would not be surprised if he exercised that, because with the news, too, he also talked about the importance of principals being able to really select the teachers and the staff that they feel are appropriate for their programs. That doesn't always happen. You have seniority rights, which he did identify as one area he thinks needs to be addressed. You have bumping rights, and that can become an issue you hear about every once in a while. If you have a special program and teachers are trained to implement it, but then because they're low on the seniority list and get moved somewhere else, the teachers coming in the next year may not have that same level of training. It came up recently at a school board meeting. They were discussing the READ 180 program, which is a very well-regarded literacy program that was being used, I think, at East High School. And why that program wasn't showing results here in Buffalo was because of the staffing issue. So I would expect that, especially at those receivership schools, he will attempt to address that.
And he's already met with Buffalo Teacher Federation President Phil Remore, so he is trying to tackle this union issue.
He has, and he told us it sounds like one of the first things he did was send the letter to Phil to begin the negotiations for the receivership schools. So the clock is now ticking. They have a matter of time to try to come to an agreement between the two of them, and if they don't, as we've talked about, it goes to Commissioner Elia, and she'll have the last say on those changes at those schools. Obviously, I think everyone expects this to be subject to a legal challenge. So it seems what we're looking at in the next couple weeks is at some point the new superintendent will bring forth his plans for receivership. Depending on whether he can negotiate contractual changes with the union, they'll probably end up in court.
Tiffany Lankus, Buffalo News Education Reporter, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.